5. And I want to look here and talk about some hills that Christians need to climb. Some hills that Christians need to climb. In other words, you say, what does that mean, Brother Mike? You'll see just as soon as we read the scripture. You'll see what we're talking about. And I don't intend to preach to you a long time, but I do hope you listen and take away some things from this sermon this morning. Let's look. Matthew chapter 5 and verse number 13. Ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden underfoot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. He is worthy to be glorified. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you, God, for your goodness. We thank you that you are faithful, God. If we believe not, the Bible says that you remain faithful, God. And because, Lord, you're so good to us and you're long-suffering and you're faithful, Lord, men ought to praise you because of these things. And Lord, I pray this morning that you'd help me to preach just a little bit. And I pray, oh God, that even before anything is done about healing or grace or any of those things, I pray you give these ladies some peace and Lord, give them some hope for the future, not only Lord, in the life that's to come, but in this life that we live now. Lord, we don't want to be of all men most miserable. We want to trust in you. And I pray, oh God, that you'd give our folks here in this church that are going through some things, God, I pray that you'd give them help and hope, oh God. And Lord, we could sit and think about all these things. Miss Sue, that's not able to come this morning, I pray that you'd help her. Brother Dane, that's going through a few things himself, oh God, I pray that you'd be with him. I pray, oh God, for Miss Irma, that's going through this surgery that she just had. Miss Alyssa, that's going through surgery, I believe, on Tuesday. And Lord, the upcoming for Heidi. And Lord, I just pray you'd take all of these situations. Lord, some test results that were given over this past week, I pray that you'd take all those things and allay all these fears and lay aside every little thing, God, that bothers us. And Lord, set aside and take away all the things that make us doubt and fear. And I pray, oh God, that you'd help Miss Judy. I pray that you'd help her and touch her body, God, and strengthen her. And Lord, I just ask you, God, to be very merciful. My sister here, Lord, that's just been with us for a few weeks, God, but been dealing with some kind of a sickness, and no doubt, Lord, the unclean spirit, God, trying to keep her away from the church. And Lord, I just pray that you'd help all these folks. No doubt, each and every person, God, could name something that's a distraction in their health or their body or their finances or their labor. Whatever the case may be, there's all types of distractions in this whole world. But God, help me to preach for just a minute. Lay aside all these weights and the sin that does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us this morning. Help me to preach. Help these to hear. Help us to take to heart what you've got for us in a message this morning. And I will thank you and praise you for what you do. In Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen. Amen. All right, look back up in verse 13. It says, ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? He said, you're the salt of the earth. Now, salt is a lot of things. It's worth a lot of things. It does a lot of different things. And I'm not going to preach on salt this morning, but I wanted to read this verse, and I thought I might as well comment on it. But salt is a preserver. Did you know that? A lot of people don't know that, but just about everything that you see on the shelf, you buy it, look at the ingredients, it's got some kind of salt or sodium in it. And you know, you could, I guess you could get too much of it. But you know, a lot of people say you ought to buy or eat salt-free stuff. I don't know about that. You need that salt.
Yeah, yeah.
Especially if you work, you need it. You need it. Amen. I remember when I was a boy, and you know, some folks think it's kind of weird, but you folks from this part of the earth, you ought to have known this before we did up there in the mountain. But you get out and you work in the tobacco fields all day, and you sweat and all this stuff. Well, when you went over and got under the shade tree, you didn't just have a bucket of water over there. You had a big old jar of salt pickles that Mama done made and put up. And you eat them salt pickles, that's not because they're good. Of course, I did acquire a good taste for them. I remember me and my brothers, sometimes we'd sit around eat a whole jar of them things in one sitting. But you know, them things had a purpose. They wouldn't put out there like hors d'oeuvres. My girls were jumping on one another for eating, you know, with their pinky up. That's too high class for my family. We went out there in the tobacco field. Say, this is a wonderful pickle. No, you did that to replace the salt that you just sweat out while you was working. Well, salt is a preserver. Salt is a preserver. And so he says, ye are the salt of the earth. And salt to give it a little flavor. So you Christians ought to be in the business of preserving life. And you ought to be in the business of giving things a little bit of flavor. Amen? I mean, that's something that you can relate to no matter who you are. Things need a little bit of flavor. Oftentimes I get up and I call you a bunch of Presbyterians. That means you ain't got no flavor that day.
Amen.
Amen. Brother Pedro jump up and say, I got to just thank the Lord. You say, what is that? That's flavor.
Amen.
That's flavor. You're the salt of the earth. You're supposed to be that kind of flavor. He said, I read it to you a couple of weeks ago. He said, I will that men lift up. He said that men pray everywhere lifting up holy hands. Now I always take that to mean like this. But really, actually, the technical meaning of that verse is, like in the Old Testament, he told them not to lift up a tool of iron on their altar. Lifting up. And so what he means by lifting up is you're to put forth your hands to work. They're to be holy hands. And you're to pray everywhere while you're doing it. But, I mean, if you're going to work like this, you may as well work like this too. Amen? I just apply it every which way that you can apply it. But what I'm talking about this morning is, I'm talking about you ought to have some flavor and there ought to be some preserves about you. I always did like preserves, didn't you?
Yeah.
Boy, I can tell you what. Well, you got to eat up. Anybody know anything about chiggers? Boy, I don't even know if they got them around here. I ain't had one in so long. I don't miss chiggers. But I tell you what, Mama used to send us out, and we'd go out real early in the morning while there was still all the dew on the ground, and boy, we'd come back scratching and itching. But she'd say, go out and find a good blackberry patch. And we'd put one in the bucket and two in her mouth.
Yeah.
We'd come back, she'd say, is that all you can find? Oh yeah, that's all we can find. What's that black stuff on your mouth? We'd go out and get them blackberries and bring them home. Mama would make that good old blackberry jelly, preserves. And boy, I tell you, it's good stuff, amen?
Yeah. Yeah.
Something good about being preserved. Now, we was reading right over there in the book of James. If you were to look right over on that first page of Peter, he talks about the blood of Jesus. It's a preserver. It's in you and it's in me.
Yeah.
Amen? Now, blood ain't much good you take the salt out of it, is it? You need it. You need that. You need that. But he said, you're the salt of the earth. But he said, if the salt has lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth, from that point forward, thenceforth, that's what that means. And when salt loses its savor, from that point on, it ain't no good. I mean, you could be a dead old dry Christian and talk about when you got saved back in 1970 something or another, but you ain't done much lately. The Bible says good for nothing.
Yeah.
How would folks feel if you preached a sermon like that? Bunch of good for nothing Christians. Just call that the title and let them have it. Amen. I'm not going to do that this morning, so don't get alarmed. I might do it next Sunday, but don't get alarmed this morning. But I don't want to be good for nothing. Do you? Look at them three words and just underline them. Good for nothing. Good for nothing. He said it's good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden underfoot of men. Now you don't eat rock salt, do you? Do you? But what do you do with it? Of course, you don't know. It ain't never froze down here. You go up north and you take that rock salt and you throw it out on your sidewalk when it's snowing outside. That way when you walk out, you don't bust your backside. Well, what's that doing? You're being trodden underfoot. Salt. Worthless salt. Ain't no good but just to throw it out and be trodden underfoot. I'd hate for God to use me as nothing but a chunk of salt that he throws out to be trodden underfoot to keep other men from slipping. You say, what's that mean? That means, I'll tell you what it means. That means you as a Christian, you go out, you live a bad life, you don't follow God. God will let men trod over you so you'll be an example to other people. So their foot doesn't slip. If I see you doing wrong and then I see God whump you upside the head and correct you, then I'm going to pay attention so I don't slip and fall. Amazing how the Bible uses things that we think is just common, ordinary stuff. You never walked over the rock salt and tried to keep from falling and thought, this is a type of Christians. Not you don't think that. But the Bible's got it all in here. The Bible's thought of everything you ever thought of. Yeah. And more. And more. Amen? Well, that's the second sermon before the sermon. He said, it's good for nothing but to be cast out, to be trodden underfoot of men. He says, now this. He says, verse 14, and this is my text verse, ye are the light of the world. So you're salt. And you're light. You ought to be salt and light. He said, you're the light of the world. And it says this, a city that's set on a hill cannot be hid. Now that city ought to be your Christian life. It really ought to be the life of the church. But as individuals, we live as individuals. I don't go home with you. You don't go home with me. I go and live my Christian life and you go and live your Christian life. But my life and your life are tied up together in that the life that we're living in our community represents God in our community. And we ought to have some flavor and we ought to have some power. We ought to have a little sting to us as well. You ever took salt and poured it in a wound? You say, no, I sure haven't. That would be stupid. And you know exactly what would happen, don't you? And taking open wounds, I believe I'll put salt in there. You ain't never thought that a day in your life. It'd be kind of crazy, wouldn't it? Wouldn't it? That'd burn you up. Amen? Well, the Bible says that the Word of God is the Word of God is a two-edged sword. It's sharper than a two-edged sword. You cut it all, cut them up. And pour a little salt in and watch them jump around. Amen? The Bible said that you're to let your speech be always with grace, but to be seasoned with salt. Amen? So a little grace and a little sting. That's why he says in the book of Jude, he says, some say with fear, but he says others have compassion. It's both sides of the issue, positive and negative. A little bit of hard, a little bit of soft, a little bit of grace, a little bit of judgment. It's exactly what you need. He said, you are the salt of the earth, but if the salt has lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? Let me ask you a question. You go home today and you're going to eat lunch and you get your salt shaker down. You put a big old helping on there, like you do them French fries. French fries ain't good unless you got about 3/4 of a ton of salt on them. Just salt them down real good. But you get your salt down today and you pour out your salt on your plate and I can't taste no salt on here. Pour it out some more. Take you another bite. This salt don't have no flavor. Now how are you going to make that salt salty? You going to take more salt and pour it on there? I got to salt this salt in order to make it salty. No, sir. Salt's supposed to be salty all by itself. And that's what he says. He said, if the salt lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salty? He said, it's impossible to do. It's impossible to do. Do you see where the danger is in backsliding? You might not be able to be salted again. Amen. People always talk about backsliding and coming back to God. I believe I'd stay just as close to Him as I could the first time. Amen. You always say, well, old brother so-and-so, he testified about he got far from the Lord and got back. Well, you're talking about the long-suffering of God right there. I wouldn't test the theory. I wouldn't go to backsliding just so I could get right. Yeah. Yeah. Amen. It's not a game. Right. I mean, if you get to the place where you've lost your ability to be a preserver and to be a flavor of this world, God just take you and cast you aside. Yeah. Cast you aside. I don't want to be that to you. But listen, we've got the opportunity to get together as a church, to be together in one mind and in one accord with one set of goals and one set of desires and go out and be what we ought to be, not only in this community, but in the surrounding communities. You know, this is one of the craziest churches I've ever been in my life, here in Folkston, Georgia, and we've only got one or two families that even lives in Folkston that comes here. Most everybody else comes from outside the community. St. George, that's a long ways off. Hilliard, different places like that. That's not too many folks. And some folks that do live in town and goes here move from somewhere else. And so it's kind of an awkward or an odd situation. But listen, our responsibility now that we're here is to reach out as far as we can and do as much as we can to just to pour a little salt on some folks and say, this is the Lord Jesus Christ. This is what life ought to be. This is what life ought to taste like. And listen, I ain't never been to a restaurant, Brother Henry, and looked at somebody eating, and if their face was like this, that didn't make me want to eat what they was eating. If I go to a restaurant or if I go to somebody's house and I'm sitting at the table, somebody takes a bite and they go, well, I just kind of want to slip them a little note and say, what did you just taste of? Because I don't want to eat that. If I see somebody take a bite and spit it all over the place, nothing in my mind says, hey, let me have some of that. Do you? Well, listen, when folks see you as a Christian, you... Listen, if you're saved by the grace of God, but you're always mad, always angry, always complaining, always fussing, I mean, never in a good sort, never in a good spirit, there's something wrong with you, and nobody wants to be that way.
Amen.
It doesn't matter if you're a Christian or a layman, it doesn't matter if you're a deacon or a pastor, nobody wants to be around somebody that's always balking all the time, and always bitter, and always backbiting, and always murmuring and complaining. Nobody, that's not the kind of taste that people want. People don't want that. People don't want that. I'm not saying you'll never have an opportunity to fuss or gripe and complain. It's going to come up.
Amen.
But there's a difference between having something to argue about or having something that you disagree with. There's a difference from disagreeing with something and being bitter all the time. There's a difference there. There's a difference there. And so, listen, you ought to be careful what you taste like. Amen? You ought to be careful the taste that people get in their mouth when they're around you. The grace of God is a good thing. Amen? It ought to be an enjoyable thing. Folks look at you and say, well, he doesn't enjoy his Christian life. They're not going, your salt lost its savor. Amen? Now that's the third sermon I done preached and didn't mean to. But verse 14, he says, ye are the light of the world, a city. And I want to bring that to your attention right quick. A city that set on... Now, it didn't say a village. Did it? It didn't say a township. Didn't say a town, did it? Didn't say that. It said a city that's set on a hill. So he's not talking about a township or a village or a hamlet or a gathering or a get-together. He said a city. Now a city has power. It can project itself. A city has some organization. A city has all these things about it that present itself at a little higher level than just a little gathering of folks. Amen? I had this thought yesterday. I've heard some people say, a person would say, hey, now, I don't like these big churches. I've heard people say, I just like a little church. And as far as people go, I guess I would agree with that a little bit. I mean, I'd rather be around a small crowd. If I had my choice, I'd live out away from everybody, wouldn't live near nobody. If I had a close neighbor, I'd wire up some dynamite and blow him out of the neighborhood. If I just had my fleshly way, I'd be by myself. But that's no way to be. I hear people say, well, I don't like a big church. Well, let's dissect that phrase a little bit. Does that mean you like folks to go to hell? This is not an exclusive private social club that we come and join and we all get together. Let's have dinner on the grounds, but let's exclude everybody, okay? Let's have somebody stand at the door and turn away all the undesirables. No, that's not what this is about. This is a church. These folks are supposed to come in here and get saved. And once they get saved, they're supposed to get their hearts in tune and get their lives straight and get things situated in their life to where they can be salt as well. Amen? I mean, it may be a blessed thing to get away from people every once in a while, but this is the church of the living God. Would to God that everybody would get into it. Amen. Would to God that every single person that lived in Folkston, every single person that lived in here, come right here to this little old church. Would to God that they would. Amen. Why? Because it's a city. It's a city. It's a congregation of people. Amen? He says, ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Now, I said I was going to preach to you about some hills that Christians need to climb. Now, the hill, that represents the world. Amen? The city is us. It ought to be the church. And the hill ought to be a world. And a city, you put a city of Christians in a world full of lost people, some folks are going to take notice. Amen? The church ought to have power. It ought to have projection. It ought to have means. It ought to have security. It ought to be able to do just about anything that it wants to do. Amen? Short of do what it really wants to do fleshly. But listen, the hill is the world. The hill is the world. The hill is the places that we go. The hill is the places that we work. The hill is the people that we know. The hill is the ideas that we encounter. Now, you ought to be a witness in this world. You ought to be a witness in the places that you go. So, I'm just going down to the flea market this weekend. You can be a witness there. Some of you young folks, I'm just going to high school this week. You can be a witness there. You say, why? It's a hill. You say, well, I'm insignificant. No, you're a city. You set yourself up on these hills, everybody's going to notice. Everybody's going to notice. And the people of this world, they want to be noticed, but just not in that kind of way. They want to, does this dress make me look fat? That means I want to be noticed. Of course, I don't wear no dresses. Amen? But you ladies, you know what I'm talking about, don't you? You men. Does it look like my biceps are getting... I've been lifting weights 3 days in a row now. Am I getting a little bigger? Does anybody notice? You want to be noticed, but it's the wrong situation to be noticed in. You ought to be wanting to be noticed as a Christian. Oh Lord, hide me behind the cross. Not me. You ever heard anybody get up and preach and pray that prayer? God, hide me behind the cross. It sounds real nice and proper, but it ain't nothing that God told you to do. God didn't tell you to hide behind the cross. He told you to pick it up and carry it. Yeah. Amen? I wish people would think before they get all excited about all these Christian cliches. Oh God, hide me behind the cross. Hard to see a city that's hid. Yeah. Amen?
Yeah.
You're not supposed to be hid.
That's right.
You're supposed to let your light so shine. Let your light so shine. Jesus said, I'm the light of the world. Then He turns around and said, you are the light of the world. He said, you do not hide your light. Look what He says in verse number 15. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. The little kids, they sing the little song with their finger up, the little imaginary flame. I always wanted to run up to one of them little kids and go... But then that would put me in the role of Satan, so I didn't dare to do that. They say, hide it under a bushel. No, I'm going to let it shine. You don't hide your light. You don't hide behind the cross. You pick up your cross and follow Him. Amen? He said, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. So the hill is the world. It's the places that we go. The Bible says, for God so loved the world. That's an amazing story of God's grace, because the Bible says that the world is enmity with God. There's something between the world and God that makes them enemies. But the Bible says while we were His enemies, Christ died for the ungodly. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. Amen. So the hill is the world. God wants you to go out to a world that hates God, that don't want to hear nothing about God, that ain't interested in God. God ain't got nothing to do with their life. And He wants you to go out there and intervene. God wants you to go out there and stick your nose in their business. Because maybe, just maybe, there's some old boy or some old girl out there. They've come to the end of the road. They've come to the bottom of their self. And they're going to look and they're going to live because they see that great gospel.
Amen.
They'll look around and they say, boy, that sure does taste salty. That sure is different from the bland old unseasoned life that I've been living so far. And then they want somebody. Some of you remember that time in your life, don't you?
Yeah.
When somebody come by and spread a little salt in your direction.
Amen.
You say, oh, that's good stuff. Good stuff. So the world, that's the hill that you ought to set your city on. The places that we go. I'm just going to the flea market. Well, what's wrong with taking Jesus with you?
Right. Yeah.
Hmm? What's wrong with that? Ain't nothing wrong with that, is it?
Amen.
Not if you're trying to be the light that you ought to be. If you're trying to be the salt that you ought to be, you wouldn't have no problem with taking a few gospel tracts and just handing them out. Excuse me, sir, let me give you one of these, tell you about Jesus, invite you to church. Are you saved? You're going to heaven when you die? I mean, one thing leads to another. And they'll say, it ain't none of your business. That's exactly what they'll say. But just ignore that. Boy, I tell you, when I first started witnessing, I about got myself in some troubles. I wasn't used to folks fussing. And my thought was, here I am trying to get you into heaven, and you're making fun of me. I ought to bust you right in your eyeballs. That's not the right attitude. That's not the right attitude. You go and try to live right, and folks are going to make fun, and folks are going to say, oh, that's stupid. And they'll say, mind your own business. Can you imagine somebody talking to a preacher and you this happened to me. If it's happened to me once, it's happened 1,000 times. But I go up to him and I say, well, listen, I'm the pastor of so-and-so, and I don't introduce myself like that all the time. A lot of times I just be a witness, and it really doesn't matter if I'm the pastor or if I'm the doorman. It really doesn't make any difference when you're out there witnessing. But sometimes I'll say, now listen, I'm the pastor of People's Baptist Church, and I just wanted to ask you if you knowed, if you was going to heaven with you die. And they say, that ain't none of your business. Whose business do you suppose it is? I mean, can you imagine the mechanic coming out to your vehicle and saying, now, what's wrong with your vehicle? And them say, it ain't none of your business. You better tell the mechanic what's wrong with your car. If you want it fixed, amen. Now, I would think religion would be the business of a pastor or a preacher, wouldn't you? You would think that your eternal soul would be the business of that person that's witnessing to you. You would think that. But see, the world is blind. They're enemies with God, but they're also blind. They don't know what the problem is. You ought not to get mad when they get mad at you. They don't know no better. They don't get no better. Here's an illustration the world ain't going to like. They don't like to use words like retard no more. They don't. But listen to me. If you were to run into a little young man or a young girl down on the street and they had cerebral palsy or something like that and they were acting a little bit out of the ordinary, would you get upset with them and say, well, who in the world left this retard on the street out here? Call the police and get them down here and get this little retarded boy off the... You wouldn't act like that, would you? If you did, you'd deserve a beating.
Yes.
Well, why in the world would a Christian react so foolishly when they run into somebody that's living like the devil? They are of their father, the devil. The lust of their father they will do. They're going to cuss.
Yes.
I had a friend of mine, a Christian young man, one time. He quit about 3 jobs in a row within the course of a couple of weeks. He quit this job and he quit that job. And I said, hey man, what's going on? He said, they all wicked. He said, I can't work around them. They cuss too much. What do you expect them to do? Get up and preach you a sermon every time? They're not going to read their Bible in the break room. They're lost.
Yes.
They're blind. I read it to you in the Sunday school class this morning. The God of this world hath blinded the minds of them. That's all they're going to do. They're going to sit around and listen to rap music and rock music, and they're going to cuss, and they're going to do everything in the world they can do just to have a good time. And that ain't going to help.
Yeah. That's right.
And the reason they're so mad and the reason that they're so frustrated is because they keep trying to do all these things and nothing ever satisfies, so they get frustrateder and frustrateder. Every time they try to have fun, they end up getting in trouble. It ain't never going to work out for them, so they're going to get madder and madder and madder and madder and madder. All you got to do is make them see the truth. All you got to do is be a light to them. Hey, I got somebody that can help you. That's all you got to do. That's all you got to do. You take your little city and set it up on the hill. It's the places that we go. It's the places that we work. It's the people that we know. Did you know your aunt needs Jesus too?
Yeah.
Everybody in the world needs Jesus except for our own families. Yeah. Our own friends. Don't you folks know anybody? Church folks are funny. Yet they see a new show on television. Oh, you'll hear them talking about it on the back pew of the church. Did you see CSI Miami last week? Boy, that was a good show. Dancing with the Stars. Did you see that show? Look, did you hear that song that little girl sung? Oh, what an angel she was. She sung. And they'll talk it up. You see that new Remington rifle that come out? Oh, my goodness. It's the most wonderful thing on earth till you bought one. Ain't that right? How many of you fellas ever bought a rifle? You thought it was the next thing. Boy, it put itself right on target. The way they advertise it. The way they advertise it, all you got to do is buy a box of bullets and throw that rifle and them bullets in the tree stand by themselves and just let them go to town. You come back next week and they'll have a tree full of bucks there for you just waiting. That's the way they put them out, ain't they? If you'll buy this shotgun, it'll go out and sniff out the turkey and shoot it and bring it home. But until you buy it, then you realize it's the worst manufactured piece of junk ever has been. Ain't that right? Ain't that right? Well, listen, this world is looking for something real, looking for something right, looking for something good. And listen, the people that you know, you Christians, you don't invite them to church. You see something on television? Oh, did you see them? I seen a commercial one time. Some of the craziest things stick in your mind. I seen this dude one time on television. He was ringing it. This is a ShamWow. You get it wet and ring it out, it'll be it. ShamWow. And everybody, I've got to get me one of those. Did you see? Oh, this is a wonderful product. Oh, and you've never seen anything like this. People just full of all this amazement at the stuff the world puts out. I remember one time my wife got this thing from Pampered Chef. I actually got it, but I don't consider myself pampered. But anyway, it's a can opener is what it is, and it don't work like a normal one. You turn it sideways and stick it on top and just turn it in. It cuts it off, cuts the side out of the can. Pretty neat. And I sit there and I go, how does this work? This is wonderful. And study that thing for an hour trying to figure out. I still don't know how it works. All it's got is a little magnet. I can't find the blade on it nowhere. I don't know where the blade is. All I know is you stick it on the can and turn it and it cuts it open. And that's the way Christians are. Listen, they see something new, hear something new on TV, and boy, they'll study it and look at it and marvel about it and call up Aunt Susie and Aunt John and Mr. Phil and Mr. John and call everybody they know. Did you see this new product? Clap on. Clap on. Ain't nobody in this building got one of those, but everybody in here knows what it is. It's been advertised and it's been talked about. Clap on, clap off. Help, I've fallen and I can't get up. Everybody knows about that. Some of you folks that's over 40 years, where's the beef? Everybody, listen, when I was a boy, they had that commercial, that little old lady commercial for Wendy's, where's the beef? People walk around with shirts, where's the beef?
Yeah, right.
Big old fat boys walking around, I found the beef. right there it is. That's advertisement. Something goes just a little bit awkward, a little bit odd, boy, everybody broadcasts it. I tell you what, you let the preacher run off with the piano player, which ain't no danger of that around here. Amen? They're not one bit. One thing you ain't got to worry about is your preacher running off with the piano player. Amen. Yeah, no problems right there. But you let it happen. Everybody in the county, folks that don't even know the church has been there. Oh, did you hear about that preacher over yonder?
Yeah.
Such and such a place. Oh, run out. All them preachers are like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It'll get spread abroad, won't it?
Yeah.
But somebody comes in, preach the truth, got good singing, got good spirit, got all this stuff. Nobody tells nobody about it. You say, how do you know nobody tells nobody about it? Nobody's showing up with you. Amen?
Amen?
I eavesdropped a little bit yesterday in the store. I was looking around for a few things to take to these, with these boys. And I listened in on people's conversation. And I heard this fella, he was mad because he had moved to St. George and bought 5 acres. And nobody in St. George would accept him. He said, I lived there for 15 years and I was still an outsider. And in the back of my mind, I said, this fella sounds a little bit like a Canadian or a Yankee or something. I wouldn't accept it in either. It's kind of the truth around here, you'll have to admit. And folks, and if you're a stranger, you're kind of a stranger, amen. And you're not going to get in on it. I mean, if you weren't born and raised around here, you're really not going to be on it. But listen, some of you folks lived here all your life. Some of you got influence, and you ought to be a city sitting on a hill that everybody can see.
Amen.
Now the Bible also says this. The Bible says a prophet's not without honor, saving his own country. But some of y'all ain't prophets. Amen. God didn't call you to be a prophet. He called you just to be a witness.
Yeah.
And listen, people use that excuse all the time. Well, I would have more influence, but all these people know me. Don't you think everybody knew that little Samaritan woman that had 5 husbands? They knew what she was all about.
Oh, yeah.
Amen. But they also knew something was different about her when she come back to town that day.
Yes.
Here's this woman. She ain't got a water pot. Wonder what's happening here. Let me go see. Caused a little stir, didn't it?
It did.
She brought the whole town back.
Right.
She was excited about what happened to her. Come meet a man that showed me all that I ever done. That's why folks ain't too excited about Christianity today. Their Christianity hadn't eradicated all the things that they'd done. Matter of fact, they still enjoying all the things that they used to do. That's why the Christianity ain't got no power. That's why the salt don't have any savor anymore. They just living a regular life. And a regular old carnal life don't have no spiritual power. You're going to have to find that power with God, and you're going to have to set your city on a hill. You're going to have to be something for God, and being something for God is better than being just a regular old nothing down here. Just a regular old nothing. I wouldn't want to be just a regular old nothing for nothing, would you? You say you're proud. No, I'm not proud. I just want to be a good Christian. I want to be what God said I could be in here. It's the places that we work. It's the people that we know. It's the ideas that we encounter. Listen, don't be afraid somebody says something wrong. Say, that ain't right. The Bible says this. Now, you don't have to be mean about it. You don't have to be ignorant about it. You don't have to be a jerk like your preacher is. Just when somebody says, there's many ways to get to heaven. Say, whoa, whoa, whoa.
Amen.
Jesus said He's the only way.
That's right. Amen.
They say Jesus was just a good teacher. You say, whoa, whoa, whoa. Jesus was God manifested in the flesh.
Yeah.
You don't listen. Don't just listen. The hill, one of the hills that you should climb is the hills of your conversation. The things that you overhear. Listen, when you get around folks and they begin to say stuff that ain't right, don't be afraid. You say, well, I don't want to interfere. Interfere. Be an interferer. Be nosy. Listen, every aspect of your life you want to be nosy except for Christianity. Why not? Why not be nosy in Christianity? Oh, your cousin gets into some trouble, boy, you're going to call every family member you can until you find out what in the world they've done to get in jail. What they do. What did they do? And when you find out, you'll be able to say, I knew I was better than him. Listen, be nosy. When you hear somebody talking, buddy, and say, hey, let me tell you what the Bible says about it. You don't got to be arrogant. You don't got to be prideful. You don't have to be mean. You don't have to be a jerk. Just say, listen, now that ain't exactly right. And if you don't understand exactly how to explain it to them, that means you go home and study and get it right. And then next time you come back to them and say, aha, I told you I was right. Look right here. The Bible says this. Man, a city that's set on a hill. It can't be hid. Somebody will notice. And that's all your responsibility as a Christian is to make people notice. You cannot convert, and it's not your job to convert everybody that you meet. It's your job to be a witness. The Bible says, he that winneth souls is wise, but the Bible doesn't command you to win souls. The Bible commands you to try. The Bible commands you to put forth the effort. The saving of the soul belongs to God.
Amen.
The saving of the soul depends on whether or not they believe your witness. Now, listen, he said the city that sat on a hill said it can't be hid. It didn't say everybody was going to come visit the city. You stand as a Christian. You stand for what's right. You earnestly contend for the faith. And there can't be no contention, the Bible says, without pride. Only by pride cometh contention. You stand for God. You contend for what's right. You let folks know what's right. And if they believe, they'll come inside your city. They'll come to Christ. They'll come to know the Lord if they believe. Whether or not they believe is between them and the Lord. That's not your responsibility. Your responsibility is just to stand on God's side every single day. City set on a hill can't be hid. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your goodness and for your mercy. I pray, oh God, you'd have your way in the hearts and lives of Christians. Help us this morning, just a small sermon and Lord, not a very in-depth doctrinal sermon, but just a little encouragement for Christians, Lord, to be a witness wherever we go and whatever we do, to be salt and light in a world that desperately needs some flavor about it and some preserving about it. We thank you, oh God, for Christ our preserver, Christ our sacrifice, Christ our Lord. We thank you for your Son that died on the cross for us. And I pray, oh God, you'd make that the Savior manifest through us, your people, as we go throughout our communities and throughout our workplaces and throughout the places of our daily business. I pray that you'd help us to be that light set on a hill that we ought to be. Thank you for your goodness and thank you for your love. The one here that lost, God, I pray you'd save them. I pray you'd convict their hearts, oh God. Lord, I don't feel led to give an invitation this morning, but I do feel led to pray that if there's any here lost, that you would save them. That you would save them from a devil's hell, God, and that you'd reveal your grace to them. Reveal your sacrifice to them. Reveal your Son to them. And I thank you for what you do. Help us, oh God, to carry that same attitude of revelation out into a lost and dying world. We'll thank you for what you do. Bring us back safely tonight at the appointed time where we trust that you'll do some great things for us tonight. In Jesus' name, we ask these things. Amen. 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 All right. Thank you for coming this morning. I really do appreciate it. You're dismissed.